Empty classrooms everywhere. Still, school goes on. That is, if a child has access to the internet. Access to technology is a barrier, even in wealthy nations like the U.S. So just imagine how families living in refugee camps are coping. Suha Tutunji is the academic director of refugee education for the NGO Jusur Lebanon. They provide educational services to Syrian youth. So given that most of the Syrian children live in refugee camps, access to technology like laptops or high-speed internet is pretty limited. So how are you ensuring continuity in education for these kids?
Yes, it is difficult as it is because we do teach in makeshift tents. And this alone is a challenge. So now with COVID-19 and the children being at home, it's even more of a challenge. And as you mentioned, the students do not have any access to any sort of laptops or tablets or what have you. And so the best means was using smartphones because most of our parents have access to a smartphone.
Right. I know the smartphone is one of the crucial tools for all refugees, but aren't the data packages fairly limited? I mean, how do you work around that?
Yes. And this is why when they use WhatsApp, the beauty about WhatsApp is that it uses some of the data bundle that they take for the internet, but it's not as much as they would have if they had been using Zoom or other platforms. And so we've combined short videos or snapshots of worksheets plus voice messages, which don't take up a lot of data. So what happens is that the teacher sends a voice message and they walk them through the book. Let's say, look at page 17. I'm going to read this short paragraph. Now we're going to answer the questions. They do some grammar. Plus, don't forget that in the household, sometimes there is more than one child and there's only one phone. So the fathers need that phone or the mothers to connect to their loved ones in Syria or around the camp. They listen to the news on their phone, so we can't use the phone except for a limited time.
So, Suha, I've heard that the majority of the refugee families you're working with come from rural areas in Syria and that most of the parents are illiterate. Is that accurate? And
yes,
if it is, how hard is it to work with parents keeping the children engaged?
Yes, sadly, I would say more than 77% of the parents are illiterate or have really basic literacy. This was a challenge because they do not prioritize education. It's not a priority for them. And this is where our counselor comes in. And we are also having WhatsApp sessions for the parents just to give them some sort of skills and talk to them about the importance of education.
So not to be cynical, but if many of these refugee children's education was kind of incomplete before the pandemic,
yes,
how have things changed practically for them in this new reality?
Yes, you're right. I mean, it was incomplete, and some of them will never go to school, especially the older ones. You know, UNICEF has stated it very clearly that if a child does not join school before the age of 10, most likely that child will never go to school. And we do have children who are 10, 11, 12, and I don't think that they weren't in school, and I don't think they will ever go to school. But at least we give them a bit of tools in their hands that they can use. They can read, do a bit of mathematics and arithmetic. Just as a tool for them to be able to manage better in life. But we have a lot of children who make it. And if we reach 6%, 7%, 8%, it's better than 0%.
Suha, you were just in one of these camps today, I understand. Did you see kids studying?
Yes.
Or are you hopeful?
Yes, I am hopeful because, you know, maybe one good thing came out of this COVID-19 confinement is that because they are at home, a way for time to pass is to read, to do some coloring, to do some fine motor skill activities at home with the beads and beans. It keeps them busy in a productive way. So maybe it might be, you know, a silver lining at the end of the day.
Suha Tutunji is the academic director of refugee education for the NGO Jusur Lebanon. She's been speaking with us from Beirut. Thank you very much, Suha, and thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.